Good morning, everybody. I have to confess that it is strange in a number of ways to be speaking to an audience again. So I've spent the last 10 weeks preaching some of the best material I've ever preached and then forgotten to record it on my computer. You know, I've spent 10 weeks preaching at a screen, and here I am in front of people. And I have to say, it's quite anxiety-inducing to be up here in front of people again, but it's also very special. It's good to see faces. It's good to see you. It's good to be with you all again. Just a special moment, I guess, for me in particular is just having our youngest son here with us today. So this is our little cub, our little lion man Ari. It's his first day at church today, so it's very special, even though he's already 11 weeks old. So strange days, but a very special day. And on that note, I just wanted to say thank you from our side of things for being patient with us as leadership as we work through the challenges of COVID and all that implied. But also thank you from a family perspective for all your support, encouragement and love. We've just really valued that through the time. So really glad to be here, really thankful to have you as our church family, and really glad to be in the Word again this morning. So yeah, good to see you again. If you do have a Bible, turn to Psalm 147 and we'll read the psalm together this morning. Psalm 147 says this. It says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars, he gives them all their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of a horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his word blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord." A psalm of praise. Let's pray as we begin this morning. Lord, we're so thankful to be here, to be able to join together to praise you. We're so thankful for our worship team. We're so thankful for the team of deacons. We're so thankful for Sarah and Joshua who have led us up to this point. We're thankful for the way that we are able to come and to hear of your goodness, hear of your glory, be able to do this in a context where we haven't been able to do it for so long. We're so thankful to have the opportunity to come and praise God together. Lord, we just are so encouraged to know that our praise is something that gives you pleasure. We're so encouraged to know that when we celebrate the Son, you celebrate us. And we ask that this would be just such a defining reality for us, Lord, that this would be something that is true and real and manifest itself in our lives. We just ask that you would be kind and generous to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a very special day. Of course, after 3 months of worshipping online, we get to worship together locally as a congregation. And for that reason, I want to interact with the why of worship this morning. Why are we here? Why are we gathering together to worship, especially for those of you who have come at 9 a.m.? Why did we get out of bed this early to come to this place, sit in this, you know, a little bit cold building and sing praises to God? My growth group will probably say, I'm here because you made me come at this time, John. But for the rest of you, why are we here this morning? Why do we worship? Why do we sing, say, and pray, praise the Lord, hallelujah? Psalm 147 gives us the why of worship, because here the psalmist is reminding us that praise is the perfect way to respond to seeing the glory of God. The glory of God is the why of our worship. In Psalm 147, as you'll note, the psalmist is calling us to worship. He's telling us what to do. He says it regularly, emphatically, repetitively through the psalm. Four times. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to the Lord with the lyre. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Praise the Lord. Here we have this beautiful calling to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, echoed through the psalm like a choir's refrain. We see this beautiful expectation that as God's people, we would respond to him with melodious instruments and congregational singing, that we would sing the song of thankfulness to the Lord. The psalmist tells us what to do. He also tells us why we should do it. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Why? For it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. I want you to note those three words that he uses to describe our praise in verse 1. It is good to sing praises, it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. Praise is good, it is pleasant, and it is fitting. It is entirely appropriate. It is the only thing that fits the occasion perfectly, pleasantly. It is what is good. It answers the why of worship because it is fitting. The psalmist goes on to further answer the why, though, by describing why it is fitting to praise God. And as he does so, he gives us line after line devoted to detailing the goodness and glory of God. As he does, he almost serenades us with the scope of God's glory, showing us the spectrum of his activity from the cosmic to the intimate, from the broad, glorious creation activity that he's done, and also the work that he does in an individual's heart. As we see this, we hear the why. We understand why it is so fitting to be here, 9 a.m., in a slightly cold building, singing hallelujah, praise the Lord, together. Now, if we break down that psalm, I've artificially broken this up into three broad categories or reasons why we can praise God. The first one is that he has created the cosmos, and he governs it by his word today. If you look at verse 4, as Sarah mentioned before, he determines the number of the stars and he gives them all their names. Verse 8 and 9, he covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. We see the cosmic interaction. We see the interaction with his world today. If you look down at verse 15 through 18, he sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. I remember in the early 2000s, Louis Giglio started producing these wonderful worship-inducing videos where he would basically just show us videos of what the universe looked like. Some of the pictures from today's slideshow would look pretty familiar in that context. And I remember watching one of his early ones called Indescribable and just seeing the state of the universe, the scope of the galaxy that we live in, and my jaw just dropped and my heart was filled with worship. This is our God. This is the effect that the psalmist is hoping to have on us. He's saying, look at your God, creating the stars and numbering them, naming them all. But he's doing more than that. He's saying, look, that same Lord that created, that same God who did these things is the one who puts every speck of snow and frost on the earth, deliberately placing them for his glory. Cosmic interaction, interacting with his creation through his word. The psalmist is saying, see the glory of God, praise him for it. See the cosmic glory of God. We also see that our God cares for his covenant people, the covenant people who have just returned after experiencing discipline, after being exiled, who are now being restored as a people in their place. Verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts. He restores the city. He brings the people back again. Verse 13 and 14, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. Looks after your gates, your children, and fills your stomach. Verse 19 and 20. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. He reigns over you as a people and provides for you and loves you and protects you as his people. He speaks to you as his people. He has shown you his glory. The last category that we see as we go from the cosmic down to the intimate is that the Lord heals the brokenhearted and lifts up the humble. Verse 3, a beautiful verse. He heals the brokenhearted. He doesn't just see, he doesn't just notice, he doesn't just observe, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble and casts the wicked to the ground. The Lord cares for the hopeless, the outcast, the vulnerable, the scattered. He brings them into their place as a people and he heals their broken heart. The psalmist is longing for us to praise the Lord, to answer the why of our worship by saying, great is the glory of our Lord. He's reminding us as he details the cosmic glory of God, the covenant glory of God, and the restorative glory of God, that great is our Lord. In fact, he breaks into praise in verse 5 by saying this very thing. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. He's calling God's covenant people to worship, reminding them that their praise is the perfect response to the glory of God. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The glory of God is the why of our worship. Now this morning as we gather, I want to encourage you to let the glory of God be the why of our worship. But I also want to remind you that in Christ we have better understanding of what this means today. They had great, we have better, because today in Christ we celebrate the glory of God in Christ, and that is the why of our worship. If you think about those categories, the Creator God, the Covenant God, and the God who cares for his people, the brokenhearted, we see these things so perfectly fulfilled and on display in Christ. As we gather, we are those who have seen the glory of Christ, even the one who created. If you sort of chuck Hebrews 1, 1 through 3 and John 1, 1 through 14 in a blender, you get something that sounds like this. Jesus is the one through whom all things were created. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen the glory of God in Christ. In Christ we gather as his covenant people. God has covenanted with us in Christ. We experience blessedness in Christ. Our sin, the thing that once separated us from God, is the very thing that he has dealt with. Now through faith, we are forgiven. It is us who are blessed in Christ. Our hearts once hostile to God, now through the Holy Spirit have been renewed and restored. Once aliens, we are sons and daughters because of the cross. Colossians 2:13-15. And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. We gather as those who are the healed, those who have been bound up, who have had broken hearts, and who have experienced humility. In Christ, the great physician, our wounds are healed. The hearts that were once sick with sin have been made right with God. In Christ, we today come celebrating the glory of God in Christ, seeing the glory of God in Christ, and there is one fitting response. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our praise need not be forced nor based on fiction. Praising him is anything but unpleasant, unbecoming, or unnatural. It is good and pleasant and fitting. The glory of God in Christ is the why of our worship. This morning so far, we have looked at praise, we have looked at worship from our perspective. Why are we here? I want to finish this morning just by very briefly touching on God's perspective on our worship. See, worship is more than fitting. It is something that gives God great pleasure. You'll notice that there are two verses that I didn't mention, verse 10 and 11. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his steadfast love. In this verse, we're being reminded that the Lord takes pleasure in those who hope in God and who love God, who trust in him rather than trusting their human strength or the strength of a horse to save them. Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. This confidence that God is the one who saves, God is the one who restores, God is our help, God is our hope, we see again ultimately fulfilled in Christ. The reality is when we confess that our leaders, our warriors, our armies, our administrative effort and our own strength will not save us from anything or anyone we worship. When we say, God, in Jesus Christ, you are glorious and you are the one who saves us. You are the one who will deliver us from our enemies. When we celebrate Christ, we enter into a place where the Lord is pleased with us and has pleasure in us. What a wonderful reality. When you celebrate the Son, you are celebrated by the Father. Imagine just quickly with me as we finish, any situation you have been in where you were enjoyed. Imagine any situation you can think of where you were enjoyed. You know, we love it. As a child, we love that enjoyment of a parent when we've done well. We love it as a teammate when we've scored and our teammates enjoy us. We love it on social media when we put that post up and there is affirmation, there is kudos, there is enjoyment from others. We love it when our colleagues enjoy our work. We love it if we are the bride walking down the aisle and everyone is pleased and enjoying us. Now imagine that and times it by a million. And think of the Father's pleasure for us as we celebrate the Son, as we hope in Him, and as we fear Him. That is the pleasure of the Father in us as we gather and say, "Praise the Lord." The Lord takes great pleasure in those who know Him, who fear Him, and who hope in His steadfast love, who celebrate the Son. Our worship today as we gather is the fitting thing to do, but it is also something that fuels the fire of the Lord's affection for us. What a beautiful reality. Let's finish in prayer. Lord, we thank You that You have given us so much to be thankful for, so many reasons to praise You. Thank You that our praise as we come this morning can be fitting and pleasant and good and beautiful. Thank You, Lord, that as we celebrate the Son, You take great pleasure in us. Would we be sustained by that pleasure, Lord? Would we be reminded of Your pleasure in us as we look to You? We thank You for the chance again to worship this morning and just pray that You would bless us for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, that you would help us to delight in Christ and to delight to share the goodness of His glory with all those that we know. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's finish this morning just with the last words from Jude, which say this: "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forever." And together to that we can together say, Amen.